Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Those of you who weren't with us last week, we talked about this clock right here behind me, and we said the power of the clock, right? The power of the clock is found in two things. That first, you take it personally, and second, you make it a priority, right? And I gave you the illustration about how I am allergic to being late. How many of you are like that with me? You want to be punctual, you want to be on time. I am a hurry up and wait kind of person. How many of you are like that? You're a hurry up and wait. If I have to be at the airport, you know, if my flight is leaving at 8 o'clock, I want to be there at 5:30, you know? And I just want to wait. I just want to be there and wait. I want to know everything's okay. I got through security. There were no problems. I have an hour and 45 minutes to go, but it's okay, right? How many of you are like that, right? How many of you are like the other way? You could care less about what the clock says. Right, the party will start when you get there. How many of you are like that? You're that personality. That's the personality of Amanda, right? The clock means nothing to her, right? She's just literally like, well, they'll start when I show up. That's when they'll start, you know? This has been a real battle in our marriage, right? You pray for us. We need counseling on that because we're really working through these two different positions to take. Right? And what we said about the clock was, man, you can put any number up on the clock that you want to put up, but if we don't take it personal, and if we don't make it a priority, it doesn't matter, right? Last week, we did not take the clock personally, did we? And we went all the way down to zero. Somebody came to me at the end of the service, and they said, the clock just went 0:0. Like, nothing else happened. You know, and I'm like, well, what did you want? Like, a trap door to open up, you know? Like, sorry, pastor, out of time. You know, there you go, right? The running clock, just so you know, this clock means nothing to me, okay? So if you're here and you're like, oh good, pastor's only got 28 minutes left, you're kidding yourself because this means nothing. It was their idea to use it as an illustration, okay? You must take, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, right, you must make him the priority of your life. Amen. And you must take him personally. Right, that's how you see, that's the demonstration, if you will, of his power in your heart and in your life. You say, well, I feel like I don't really understand him, I don't really get it, I'm coming to church, but, you know, nothing's different, I have the same set of problems, I have the same battles, I have the same struggles, I have the same temptation, you know, I did that thing, pastor, I read the Bible, but nothing happened, like I didn't hear any sounds or horns or bells or whistles or trumpets, everything's just the same, right? And yet, often through the Word of God, the call to us, it's not, oh, come to Jesus and have this, you know, out-of-body experience and see sounds and lights and, you know, a 400-foot Jesus walking around downtown Long Beach. Nothing like that, right? It's come to Jesus, make him the priority of your life, take him personally, take what he says personally, take who he is personally in your heart and in your life, and over the course of your life, that's where you see the demonstration of his power, that's where you see the demonstration of his might. And we saw that in the early part of chapter 16. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're against Jesus. They hate Jesus. They're looking for ways to kill Jesus. They're trying to rid Jerusalem of Jesus. The disciples, they're not really taking Jesus personally either, because they understand Jesus can feed 5,000. Jesus can feed 4,000. But they're on the boat with one loaf of bread, and they have nothing to eat. And Jesus says, you're missing the point. Right? You're not making me personal. You're not taking me personally in your life. I'm just a commodity. I'm like the lucky rabbit's foot in your pocket. I'm just like the good luck charm. You aren't taking me personal in your life. Man, don't you know I can feed you just like I fed them? Amen. I can provide for your need just like I provided for their need. I can work for your good relationally, emotionally, financially, in your life, just like I did in their lives. And yet the disciples in the early part of chapter 16, they did not take the Lord personally. And man, Jesus gives them that strong rebuke on the boat. Man, take me personally. And then he asks them that life-altering question, but who do you say I am? Man, personal pronoun. Who do you say that I am? I know what everybody else thinks about me. And don't you know, everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Everybody has an idea. Some say Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah. Maybe you're just like one of those other prophets. Yeah, but who do you say that I am? Take me personal. Take me personal. Who do you say that I am? And Simon gives us that confession. That's verse number 16. And Simon Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you see, Simon says, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the one that all of the Old Testament was talking about and pointing to. You are the long-awaited Messiah. In you is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. In you is the fulfillment of all the sacrifices. In you is the fulfillment of all the temple and the tabernacle. You are the fulfillment of everything. Centuries before you were ever here, you are the fulfillment of it all." And we talked about how that Christ, Jesus Christ, certainly is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And one of the evidences of that is go read the Old Testament and see all the prophecies spoken centuries before Jesus ever showed up. And then here comes Jesus and he fulfills every one of them. I said, every one of them. He met. But this is one of the things that solidifies the fact, man, you are the Christ. But it doesn't just stop there. He doesn't say, you are the Christ. You're the one we were looking to in the past. He says, you are the Son of the living God. Man, we're taking you personally in our life. You are the demonstration of the love and the power and the concern and the care that God has in our life. So that was last week, take him personal. Here's this week. Number two, make him the priority. And I only have 23 minutes. Took me 7 minutes to review. 7 minutes to review. All right, let's go. We got to move fast. All right, you got your notes. You can follow along with me. Here you go. First, notice the certainty. The certainty of Christ's plan. The certainty of Christ's plan. Right? That this is, why should we make him the priority? Pastor, why should we make Jesus Christ the priority of our life? Notice the certainty. Verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why should we make Christ the priority of our life? Because of the certainty of the plan of Christ. Because of the certainty of Christ's plan. Now there's a lot of confusion about verse number 18, and there are a lot of people that teach a lot of different things. Saying that Jesus in this verse is saying to Simon Peter, "You are the rock." And yet that's not what Jesus is saying. Look at the context. He says to Peter, "Upon this rock." What rock? Upon what rock? Upon this rock. The rock that ties back up into Peter's confession, verse number 16. So what I did in my verse is I circled the phrase, "this rock," and then I drew an arrow up to Peter's confession. Because what is the rock that Jesus is talking about? The rock that Jesus is talking about is the confession that Peter has just made. Upon this rock. What rock? The rock that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus is not saying the church is built on Simon Peter. Jesus is saying the church is built on me and who I am. The church is not built on a man. The church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the church is not built on your preferences or my preferences. The church is built on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not built on a set of methods. The church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying. Upon this rock. What rock? The rock of Peter's confession. The person of Jesus Christ. The profession that Jesus just made. He's saying, upon this rock, when you confess me, when you believe me, when you follow me, man, the future is sure because the foundation is secure. That's letter A and letter B. Why can't we say there is certainty with Christ? There is certainty with Christ because the foundation is secure and because the future is sure. Now, there are some that teach that Simon Peter is the rock that the church is built upon. And here's the problem with that. The problem with that is verse number 23. Look at verse 23. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me." And what's the word? How many of you know that is not a compliment? That is not a compliment. Okay, that's not, hey, good old buddy, old pal, you're Satan. No, that's not a compliment, okay? So Peter goes from, man, you, Peter, blessed are you. My Father has revealed to you what you just said. Man, Peter, you are blessed because of the revelation that God has given to you. But then he goes from there, and just a few verses later, Peter, you are ridiculous and Satan is using you. Well, there goes that idea. Any hope of building on a man, any hope of building on Simon Peter, any hope of building on anything temporary, it goes out the window. How many remember the parable Jesus gave about the man who built a house on a rock and about the man who built the house on the sand? And man, the winds came, the waves swelled, the wind blew, and which house stood strong? Which house stood firm? Man, the house on the rock stood firm. You build your life on anything other than Christ, and your life will collapse. That's what Jesus is saying. You build your life on anything other than me, and your life will collapse. Why make Jesus the priority of our lives? Because he is the only one who has a sure foundation, and he is the only one where the future is secure. I am Christ. Build on me, Peter. That's what he's saying. And then he says, look at verse number 18, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I am Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a Jewish idiom for the powers of death. The powers of death cannot even overcome me. Death cannot stop God. That's what he's saying. Man, death cannot hold the Messiah. That's what he's saying. And he's already referenced this, hasn't he? He's referenced this already where he said, I would give you a sign, and the only sign I'm going to... 18 minutes left. Oh, my word. I'm going to give you a sign, and the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah the prophet, how that he went into the belly of the whale, but then he resurrected from there. He said, this is the sign. The only sign I'm giving you is that death can't stop me. That's what he's saying. That's right. Come on. And death can't hold the Messiah, but hear me, death cannot hold his messengers either. You see, for the believer, death is just a doorway. Why? Why can you say that, Pastor? Why is death just a doorway? Why can the Apostle Paul, when he's staring death in the face, say, oh, death, where is thy sting? And oh, grave, where is thy victory? Because the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the grave is the law. And man, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Amen. Who can taunt death like that? Who can taunt death? Man, the only person who can taunt death is someone who knows that death is defeated. That death has no power. For the believer, death is just a doorway into eternity, into life with Christ. And he's the only one worth building on. Why? He's the only one worth making the priority. Why? Because the foundation is secure. Man, because the future for the believer is sure. The future for the believer is sure. Christ, here in this passage, Christ, the certainty of Christ's plan. I'm through one point, and I have half the time left on the clock. We are not doing a good job of making it a priority. How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? How many of you are disappointed by that? You should be. You should be. Just so you know, you should be. Man, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Amen. Triumphing over them, making us to triumph over them, giving us victory over them. Why? Man, because there's a certainty with Christ's plan. Why should we make Christ the priority in our life? Because that's the only foundation that won't collapse. Because that's the only place you can build your life and your life actually stand when the storms come in. And how many of you know storms come? Man, water rises fast. Rains fall hard. Wind blows strong. And if you've built your life on anything other than Christ, it won't last. Man, the certainty of Christ's plan. The certainty. Number two. The commission to Christ's people. The certainty of Christ's plan, the commission of Christ's people. Look at verse number 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now these two verses right here, people come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. They have all kinds of crazy practices, walking around binding this, binding that, loosing this, loosing that. But listen, you got to remember the context. Any context, any text taken out of context is a pretext. Right? Any text taken out of context is a pretext. What's the context? The context is not, oh, walk around and whatever you say is bound up, will be bind up this demon, bind up that problem, bind up this financial disaster, and then it just goes away. No, how many of you know that's garbage? That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't saying, walk around, bind up powers. Man, listen to the tense. He says, I'm giving you this authority, but don't tell anyone who I am. That flies right in the face of somebody walking around. I've got all kinds of authority. I bind you up, debt. You know, and how many of you know their bills come due a couple months later and they're evicted, right? You're never told that side of the story, right? I bound them up, but it didn't work, right? Well, why? Man, people get weird at this passage. Listen, let me help you. Don't get weird. When you read the Bible, don't get weird. Right? Like, if you don't get anything else from today, write that down. Like Pastor said, don't get weird when you read the Bible. What's he talking about? He's talking about Peter's confession. What's Peter's confession? Who do you? Remember what we're talking about. Who do you say I am? We say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, Peter, this is true. And Peter, upon this profession, upon this person, this foundation, your future is secure. And by the way, Peter, I'm giving you a sovereign authority that whatsoever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. In what way? In what way are they given authority? Jesus says it in this way. Man, he's talking about what his purpose, what his mission, what his reason for coming was. What was his reason? Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to earth. Why? Man, he came to earth because we needed a good example? No. Man, he came to earth because we needed a good role model? No. He came to earth because we needed a buddy? No. He came to earth to seek and to save those which were lost. He's coming to earth to die for the sins of the world. That's why he's here. Man, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, what's his purpose then? And he's telling Peter, man, anyone, any person in the world that you say, that you declare this message to, if they turn from their sin and they trust in me as their Lord and Savior, they will be freed from their sin. They will be loosed from their sin forever. It's a guarantee. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know how I messed up. You don't know what I said. You don't know where I went. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter. Christ died for our sin. All of them. Like the really, really big ones, you know what I mean? The really, really big ones. And even those little tiny ones that we don't think anyone knows about, Christ died for the sins of the world. Man, and anyone who turns from their sin and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, man, they shall be saved. And Jesus is saying, there is an authority behind that. I give my authority to that. Man, but at the same time, what we have to say is any person in the world that does not turn from their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. It's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's a sovereign authority. It's a singular commission. Man, this is the commission to Christ's people. This is why we should make him the priority of our life. Why? Because if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you reject his person, if you reject his work, if you reject his purpose, then you die in your sin and you will be bound in your sin forever in a place called hell. That's not my message. If it's my message, I'd say, let's take that negative part out, right? No one wants to hear the negative stuff. No. It's not my message. This is his message. This is his message. There's none that are righteous. No, not one. What we know is we know we cannot save ourselves. And we know we need a redeemer. We need a savior. And what Jesus is saying and what Peter is confessing and what the church is built on is the confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is what you're here to do. Amen. Man, it's the commission. It's the commission to his people. 9 minutes to go. Are you kidding me? Slow it down. Slow it down. Can we slow that down a little bit? Man, number three, the confirmation of Christ's purpose. The confirmation of Christ's purpose. Hey, remember, man, Christ, his power, his love, his purpose is in our life. Man, make them personal. Take them personal, but make them the priority. Man, to the degree that you make the clock a priority, to the degree that you say, I got to beat the Methodist to lunch. We got to get out of here really fast. To the degree that you make the clock personal, to the degree that you make it your priority, man, it'll call the shots in your life. Man, it'll determine where you go, what you go, when you go. Man, the clock will rule and reign over your life. Man, Christ is saying, I am more important than the clock. That's what he's saying. Well, why is Christ more important than the clock? Because there's eternal consequences. Man, there's consequences at the buffet. There's consequences at the restaurant. Man, but if you ignore Christ, there's eternal consequences from ignoring Christ.
Come on, Pastor. Bring it.
Man, number three, the confirmation of Christ's purposes. Look at the confirmation of his purpose. Verse 21 to verse 26. And from that time, from the time that Jesus helped the disciples understand his purposes, from that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must. Man, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Man, there was a certainty to that. Man, there's an understanding. There's resolve in Jesus. Why? Jesus is making the redemption of you and me, the forgiveness of sins of all the world. Jesus made it the priority. This must happen. Man, Jesus made redemption for us his priority. We should make him the priority in our life. Man, he must go unto Jerusalem. Notice he knows right where he's walking. Three ideas: suffer, be killed, be raised. You see those three? Jesus says, this is what I must do. I must suffer, I must be killed, and I must be raised on the third day. By the way, that's the gospel. That's the message. Jesus did not die like any other man died, buried in a grave, left there. Jesus died on the cross the most excruciating way. Never did anyone die the way Jesus died. He died on the cross in our place. They laid him in the grave, and 3 days later, he walked out of the grave. Like literally, physically, not just ideologically, not just in philosophy, not just his love or his essence or his spirit. No, he literally walked out of the tomb. Man, he must suffer. He must be killed. And he must be raised from the dead. How many of you know if Jesus isn't raised from the dead, if the resurrection of Christ didn't happen, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time this morning. Man, but if Jesus did raise from the dead, if he beat death, man, that is the final sign that anyone could ever need. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were given, the sign of Jonah, the resurrection. This is all you need to know. If Christ beat death, then he is who he said he was. And if he didn't, then we're wasting our time. If he did beat death, then he must be made the priority of our lives. And this is what he's calling for the disciples. Peter, this is the requirement. The requirement of the cross. 5 minutes, 44 seconds. The requirement of the cross. Man, number two, letter B, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Man, he's not trying to win friends and influence people. "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me." Man, Peter goes from a rock to a stumbling block. Man, Peter goes from "God has revealed this to you" to "Satan is filling you with ridiculousness." Man, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Hey, can you put in parentheses, underline, or star? I underline, put in parentheses, and starred. I did all three. That last phrase in verse 23. When we read that verse, we always get hung up on, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We always get hung up on that verse. Why? Because that's a harsh thing to say to somebody, right? I mean, that's a mean thing to say. So we always kind of trip at the beginning part, and we don't ever let the back part of it hit us. But the back part of the verse is the power of the verse. Why does Jesus rebuke Peter? Well, he tells you, for. That word "for" is like, for the reason of, or because of. You're being filled with ridiculousness, Peter. You're offending me. You're trying to stop me. By what and in what way? For the reason, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Man, letter A, the requirement of the cross. Letter B, the rebuke from the cross. How does Simon Peter go from blessed to "get behind me, Satan"? How does Simon Peter go from "God is revealing things to you" to "Satan is filling you with ridiculousness"? How does that happen? Man, because Simon Peter made this world priority. Because Simon Peter made the things of this life his priority. Simon Peter, Satan is filling you with ridiculousness. You are causing people to stumble and fall. Why? Because you are not savoring, making the priority, setting as your agenda, putting first all things, giving Christ the preeminence. You are not savoring the things that be of God. Man, but those that be of men. The things you are making priority, earthly, material, relational, emotional, and you're ignoring the spiritual. Man, Simon Peter, you are ignoring the spiritual and you're elevating. You're savoring things that don't matter. You're savoring things that don't last. You're savoring things that are built on sand. They won't make it up against the storm. Do you understand? Man, Peter is guilty of building his life. At this point, Peter is guilty of building his life on the sand. Man, Peter, just a few verses, 2 minutes, 15 seconds. Peter, just a few verses ago, man, what was he doing? He was making Christ the priority. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Man, making Christ the priority. Now, Peter, God has purpose. God has an eternal plan. I'm giving you a sovereign authority. I'm giving, using you for the purposes of God, for all of the world. Peter, God's using you in an amazing, amazing way. Man, all the way to, Peter, you're being filled with ridiculousness. You're trying to cause people to stumble. You are causing people to stumble. Why? Because you do not savor. You're not making priority the things of God. You're putting your own desires, your own wants, your own requests, your own preferences, your own things. You're putting them ahead of God. And how many of you know what Peter was saying to Jesus wasn't a bad thing? And he didn't want to see Jesus go to the cross. Man, he didn't want to see Jesus suffer and die. He didn't want to see that happen. But what did he ignore? He heard suffer and die, and he ignored, man, and be raised again from the dead. And he ignored that, and he tried to elevate his own preferences. He tried to elevate material possessions. He tried to elevate this earth. He tried to elevate things materially, relationally, financially. He tried to elevate them above things spiritually. What was Peter doing? He was not making Jesus the priority. Can I ask you a simple question? What's the priority of your life? What's the priority of your life? I mean, are we making him the priority when it comes to, man, our time, 25 seconds, are we making him the priority? Are we making him the priority in our life? Man, when it comes to how we spend our money and use our resources, are we making him the priority when it comes to what we do with our weekend? Are we making him the priority when it comes to how we interact with people around us? Are we making him the priority when it comes to what we say to our neighbors? Are we making him the priority in our life? Or are we, you know what, it's okay. It's just 0.0. It's okay. Because the party starts when I get here. Are we elevating our own ways, our own desires, our own things above the things of God? Man, we want to see the power and demonstration of God in your life. I do. Man, I want to see God work in my life, my marriage, my finances, my relationships, my friendships, my job, my community. I want to see God do that. Hey, how does that happen? Make him the priority. And take him personally. Make him the priority and take him personally. You mean there's no secret formula? No, like stand on one leg, say five certain prayers? No. No, I'm saying make him the priority of your life. Make him the subject of conversation tomorrow in the break room. Make him the priority in your life. Make him the priority in your life by being faithful to your Sunday school class or church attendance. Make him the priority of your life by talking about him in front of your children. Make him the priority of your life. And make him the priority. Take him personal. Make him the priority. Take him personal. Man, the requirement in the cross, I must. Man, the rebuke from the cross. You have not savored the things of God. You've savored the things of men. Notice the request. Verse 24. This is it and we're done. Time's up anyway. We have successfully ignored the clock. Ask me if I feel bad. Nope. Number 20, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, he will become a millionaire in just a short time and have a Lexus and everything good. Is that what your version says? If your version says that, it's wrong, okay? All right? That's wrong. Verse 24, if any man will come after me, deny himself. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Man, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And what does it profit a man? For what is a man profited if he shall gain, if he gets the whole world, if he wins the whole world, if he shall gain the whole world, but loses his own soul? Man, the clock goes out on the sermon. Man, the clock runs out on the sermon. We're just late to lunch. We're just late to lunch. Well, I mean, you're late if you actually thought I was going by that clock. I'm not late because I knew I wasn't going to go by that clock. Man, clock goes out on the sermon, we're late to lunch. A clock goes out on our lives, and we've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we're bound in our sin forever. We suffer the judgment of God in a place called hell. Man, make him personal. Take him personal. Make him the priority. Take him personal and make him the priority. There's more important things than being late to lunch, you know what I mean? And yet, man, we make the clock. Man, we let it have priority over everything. And we savor the things of the world, and we ignore the things of God. We ignore the things of God. What is it for you, friend? What will it be for you? Hey, today, two things. Is he personal? I mean, do you know him personally? Has there been a time in your life when you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? When you've said, I'm not counting on my own way. I'm not counting on my own wisdom. I'm not counting on my own good works. I'm not counting on my own religiousness. I'm not counting on my own power. I'm not doing that. Has there been a time in your life when you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ personally? Has there been a time in your life where maybe you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but man, you know he can meet everybody else's needs, but you're forgetting he can meet yours? He's a personal God. He's not just a God for everybody else. He's a God for you. Maybe for you this morning, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you just need to be reminded this morning, God, thank you for being my God. Thank you for being a rock. Thank you for giving me a foundation to stand on when I have no other foundation. I'm trying to stand anyplace else, and it just keeps collapsing under my feet. And God will never collapse. God can hold the weight of all your life. Maybe for you, that's what you need to be reminded of. Maybe second, have you made him the priority? Have you made him the priority in your relationships? Have you made him the priority in your parenting? Have you made him the priority in your giving? Have you made him the priority with your church attendance? Have you made him the priority in your serving? Have you made him the priority in your life? Or are you just ignoring him? You just ignore him. It's just numbers on a screen. You're just ignoring him. I don't know what it is for you, but what we'd like to do is end the service by giving you an opportunity to respond. This is what we believe. We don't believe that we ought to just come to church, listen, be inspired, and then turn around and walk out. And what we believe is we believe we ought to come to church, man, hear the word of God, and then obey. Amen. And then do what God says. Amen. Right? So what we want to do is we want to just end the service by giving you an opportunity to respond to however God is speaking to your heart. We call it the invitation. That's what we call it here at First Baptist. And we want to give you a chance. We want to invite you to meet me or one of the pastors here at the front, take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your home. Maybe you'd like for somebody to pray with you. Maybe you'd like for someone to pray for you. We have people who are prepared to do that. Okay, we'll get you in a minute. We have people who are prepared to do that. However, we can help you. We want to be a help to you this evening or this morning, okay? Let's stand together for prayer. We're going to get her some help. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? All right.